medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colos IS Support. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, what's new with you this week?
I think you ask that every single week, and every single week I wonder what the heck I'm going to say as soon as you ask me it. One of these days, maybe I'll write that stuff down. I don't know. What is new this week? Just digesting everything that we heard at AI World last week. Much like everybody else, you look at a conference like that and hope to hear some insights into, you know, what's going to happen in the future and, you know, where things are going and what our leadership is thinking. And you know, I'm doing the same thing. You know, I enjoy, you know, listening to Larry and Juan and Mike. And, you know, we have two new CEOs now, Mike and Clay. And, you know, this was our first opportunity to see them out in public, in a, you know, in public forum on the stage in their new roles and see what they had to say. So we were anxious about that. So just going back through some of those replays and taking some notes and, you know, seeing some former JD Edwards customers up there with our leadership talking about what their experience has been like and collaborating with Oracle on their transition to cloud and what they're able to accomplish with AI. AI changes everything. That was the theme last week. So I don't know, always somewhat enlightening or insightful. I don't know what the right words are, but you're always looking for new ideas and new thoughts from the thought leadership at Oracle. And so that's what we're doing this week is digesting that and figuring out what they committed us to. You know, what did they commit to the to our customer base, to the public that we now have to make real? How about you? What's new with you?
Not much. Just, out here in Washington, D.C. area, the Marine Corps Marathon is on Sunday, the 26th of October. So came out a little bit early, just kind of working actually from my mother's house in Maryland. So get to see some family, pretty much run a marathon and then go back. Just running this one. Just going to have fun with it. As most people know, I got struck with COVID at InFocus and didn't run for 2 weeks after that and have, according to my Garmin, struggled to get back into what I would consider healthy zones on my watch and until pretty much this week. So I did eke out a 15-mile run last weekend, but even though my watch told me I probably shouldn't have, but I did it anyway. So this one is just going to be a fun run and experience. I'm going to probably just enjoy and take pictures along the way and make the best of it.
Yep. You know, some folks ask, what sort of pacer are you going to follow in this particular case? I guess you're in it for the let's just finish and, you know, let's just get through it and let's enjoy the experience as much as possible. So.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's where I'm at.
All right. Well, what are we talking about this week then?
So we are going to talk about problem solving. That's a never ending battle, I guess, or opportunity, however you want to put it. For me, obviously, with starting my new job, I'm in a new industry. So I'm now in construction. I'm working through some different areas that I didn't have experience with in JD Edwards prior to coming here. I had a question posed to me last week about, well, what table is this application updating? And I'm like, oh, well, that should be easy enough to find. You know, normally I just go to cross-reference and I look up the data object that I'm looking for to figure out, you know, or the table where the information is stored to figure out what application is updating it. That did not give me the results I needed. When I went in those tables, that data wasn't there. Or it was there, just I didn't on one of them, it was in the table. I just had to figure out how to decipher what it was actually doing. Mm-hmm. I actually ended up using a combination of resources to answer my question. I went to learn JDE and went into the technical catalog to look at the application that I was dealing with, or the area that I was dealing with. And then I also pulled open the implementation guide and started reading. So, and actually went to my Oracle support as well and just kind of did some general searches to see what I could find. Where it said it should be updating, I don't think we have that turned on. I didn't dig into that enough to figure out why or why not. You know, those are questions I might ask at some point, but I did get to an answer, and I actually sent the individual an email and said, well, okay, after kind of digging around and understanding a little bit about how it's actually in equipment management, how the meter readings are working for our organization, here's what I can tell you. And this came as a result for some additional background as a request about we might need to send this data to a third party, and obviously looking to utilize the orchestrator to do it. But I was like, well, normally I just go do a data service request on a table to find the data. Well, where is this data? Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting opportunity for me to learn. And I think when I had talked to you about it, you're like, well, why don't you just open up Form Design Aid? Obviously, I know you come at it from a different background, so I thought it would be helpful to share the Form Design Aid side of it. And quite frankly, the reason is I don't have access to a full client yet. But in my current role, hopefully I should sometime shortly. I am in the process of I will be meeting with our technical team later to figure out what I need to do to get access to one. But in the meantime, I thought it would be a good thing for us to cover,
okay,
you know, what is Form Design Aid and how can you use it to help figure out what an application is doing?
Your way of going about it outside of Form Design Aid, you know, like you said, you check cross-reference, right? What application? I pull up the application, I try to see what table it's updating. And for applications where there's not a lot of business logic, where there's, you know, it's pretty simple, it's pretty data capture, straight data capture, then we built our apps with business views and that wrote directly to the table, and cross-reference can help you there. But in many instances, we needed to, let's say, decouple the actual business logic and the editing from the application itself. And in those instances, we might have buried that logic in an AMDR or business functions or a series or set or stack or whatever of business functions. And so sometimes cross-reference, as you found out, isn't going to be your friend, isn't going to give you the answer. Going to the technical catalog, checking out the data models, because maybe at least in this particular case, you know that meter readings has to do with assets and you know what Asset Master is. You can go look at that, see if you can't extrapolate from that, right? Like what other tables are associated with Asset Master? Maybe I could figure this out from there, or where it was consumed, right? You go into Asset Legit Inquiry and this is where you can actually read what the results were and what was captured, and you can back into it from there, right? And then you did data browsers. So these are all great resources and great, you know, ways to go about trying to narrow down what's happening. As a developer, I listen to all that and I just shake my head a little bit, because I would just go straight to FDA, or I'd go to, back in the day, I knew what the business functions were behind most of the objects that are applications and processes that I was dealing with. So I would just go straight into the business logic itself and kind of go from the ground up rather than, you know, from the top down, which I realize not everybody has that access. But to your point, let's take a look at FDA. And the other thing I think you and I talked about is, look, business analysts don't necessarily want to be developers, but they, you know, and our goal with this particular session shouldn't be necessarily to educate them on how to develop an E1 application, but understanding the anatomy of an E1 application and how to navigate one within Design Aid so that you can interpret what's going on definitely adds value. So I like your idea. It's been a long time since I've cracked some of these tools open and since I've navigated through them myself. So I apologize ahead of time. If I stub my toes here, just don't hold it against me. This is why my team would say, why don't you just hand it off to somebody that knows what they're doing? But hey, they're all busy. Okay.
And you got them working on projects because you found out what you were committed to.
Exactly. I got them all busy making Larry's visions come true so that I can sit here and have a podcast with you and do this. So who knows?
Do the anyway, important things.
Yes. Well, it is important, obviously. So, all right. So let's get into it. So first of all, you do need a full client and then you need to type in OMW into your FastPath in order to bring up the object, what we used to call object librarian, but object management workbench. Then search on the actual object that you want to inspect, right? That you want to crack open. In this case, we'll start with meter readings, just itself, just the actual application where you started, which is P12120. And you add that to your list of objects underneath your default project. From there, you basically exit to design. So take your, select the object and you go into design and you can fire up design aid. So start form design aid.
Well,
pretty simple.
Go to the design tools tab and then start form design aid. There was a just want people to know exactly. You won't see it on that summary tab. You have to go one over. Yep. And again, this assumes that you have the security to do such. Sometimes you don't.
Agreed. So, it takes a second for OMDA or for FDA to read all the specs and pull everything up. But the first thing you'll notice as soon as you open up probably any one of our applications is, what are all these forms?
What are all those little boxes that I see on your screen?
Right, because you ran one application. It was called meter readings. How many apps do you see here, right? How many forms do you see? There's actually one, two, there's at least four forms here, right?
Yep.
And now where do you start? What do you do? Where do you start? How does this work? I think the first thing, and maybe the easiest thing to do when trying to learn an application at this level is in the left-hand nav, there is a parent-child tree that shows you kind of the from the application itself, in this case, meter readings, to all of its child forms. So there's meter readings, there's meter change out, there's meter rollover, and there's global meter update. What you can do is, in this case, I'm going to select the first form, which is meter readings, right? Which, I'm going to guess is where we probably do our find, probably pull up the details and whatnot and locate the asset that we're dealing with. And there is a option to edit ER, and which pulls up ER is your event rules, right? That is your logic behind, the application. And within each application, we have a whole series of events from something called dialogue is initialized. So you can think of that as, hey, I fired up the application. I'm initializing everything. When this application first starts, what do I want it to do? And then there's post-dialogue is initialized. Well, after that happens, what do I want it to do? I mean, this stuff is pretty straightforward, right? So you see a lot of different events and, grid record is fetched. So in other words, when I hit find on an app and I fetch a record, what do I want to do with that record? Is there any editing, formatting, whatever I want to do with it? I'm going to put it there. There's a write grid line before, same sort of thing. There's also an end dialogue. When I close this application, is there any cleanup? There's a lot more. Okay, I just listed off 4 or 5 different events. What the hell does that all mean? And where do I go? And why do I care? Right. Because we do try to make it intuitive. We put a plus sign by any event that actually has logic. That's nice. Okay. So you actually know that there's logic there. Again, which logic do you care about? How do you decide where to start? Well, again, I go back to one of the easiest things to do to start with is to actually go to file and print. And what you can do is you can actually print the event rules for any form. You can print them to file or print them to your printer if you want, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't kill the tree. Exactly. I wouldn't kill the tree. So you print them to file, which basically puts them in text format, text file format. And rather than event, you can actually select what level, like what's the scope, the print scope. So how much of the logic do you want to print? Do you want to just print this form, a specific control, a specific event, i.e. dialogue is initialized, or the actual app? And my recommendation, you know, would be to do the entire application. And you can expand, like show all lines, comments, dates, stamps, all that. I would just show it all. And what that does is that prints it out to a file where you can then easily search it. Okay, so you don't have to then be limited to the scope of an event when you're searching through the logic. Instead, you've got it in one file and you can actually control F and search for specific things like maybe write transaction or file or table or meter reading, you know, stuff like that. What are some of those key words, right?
Keywords.
So that's right. That's where I would start. Now, I say that, but I'm not going to do that right now. So I've shown that would give me, you know, that printout, and I could go then at least peruse and do quick finds on that. And if you do not have a full client, one of the things I do is I would reach out to your local developer, and you know, when you're exploring an app like this, and say, do me a favor, give me a printout of the ER.
Yep.
Right. And then you have that and you can always reference it. You know, sure, they might make changes. Maybe you get an ESU, we change a little bit of logic here and there, but hey, guess what? 90%+ of what you have in that first printout, it's going to be valid for a while. And you can always get another printout if you need it. But again, for reference purposes, just print the darn thing out and go look at it. Go read it. Go peruse it. Anyway, you've got these different events. Back to your question, your original question is, okay, so what table does, you know, this application update? Okay, well, if I think about an app, I go in, I click find. Maybe in this case, I probably enter an asset number.
That number, yeah.
And then I click find to find that record. And then I'm going to select that record, probably take a row exit or something like that to a specific reading that I want to record.
Yep.
And so as I think my way through this application, then I can go and look at these forms. Well, I've got the meter readings form where I hit find. I would then hit select, which means meter readings probably has an exit. So guess what? I can go through this tree control and I can explode out and see the different exits and I can see where they go, right? If I want to see where cost summary goes, I can right click, I can edit ER, and I can see that it calls the 12.2.101 app in order to record cost summary. If it's a meter change out, right, I can do the same thing. So I'm looking at the different row exits to see where they go to try to figure out what app that I might need to explore that potentially is beyond the scope of what I have here, right? In this case, if I go to meter changeout, I get to 12.12.0, which is, hey, guess what? That's the app that I'm in. I'm in the 12.1.2.0. It's causing a different form within this. So that's the meter changeout form. Look at that. There's a meter changeout form. Okay. And then you got rollover, which again, I've got another form in here called rollover. So I'm guessing, guess what? That's what it's calling. All right. So again, I can then go into those applications. So right click, go to event rules. And you know, you can now inspect the event rules of that app, right? And try to figure out what it's doing. But mind you, okay, so I look at this. So what I've done is I've gone into the event rules for meter changeout. And I'm just looking at it, trying to figure out, okay, what is this doing? What I see as I read through this is basic assignments, right? All I see is form controls being mapped to form interconnects. I see some...
So for those that can't see our screens, which is all of our listeners, it's a, an F, it starts with an FC equals, and that's where you're saying that.
Yeah, that I'm seeing assignments. So assignments are going to be, assignments are going to be these, you see something being set to something. So it's equal something. So what you're saying, FC means form control. FI means form interconnect. What's a form interconnect? Well, when one form calls another form, we can create a structure of parameters for a form that you can pass, right? So a form interconnect says, okay, you're going to call me and I'm going to give you a list of available values, right? Mm-hmm. That you can pass me. So you can pass me the current meter reading. You can pass me the previous meter reading. You can, you can pass me subledger type, whatever it happens to be. You can, we may define and expose a certain number of attributes for that form that you can actually pass back and forth. Mm. Right. That is what form interconnect is, so that you can map from one form to another when calling it. Okay. And in this particular case, we're mapping form interconnects, those interconnects, to actual form controls, and not a lot else is necessarily happening behind that. So this still hasn't told me, okay, well, what table am I updating? Right? I still haven't gotten there. As we were talking through the navigation, I pull up an asset, I go off, I take an exit, I enter some information, I come back. Eventually, though, I want to save that information, right? So when I do that save, that's probably that OK button, right?
Yep.
So if I look under OK button, I suddenly find a whole bunch of logic. And that logic is calling a bunch of business functions. This is why, to be fair, you couldn't find via cross-reference what table the app was updating, because the app doesn't update anything directly.
Got it.
Okay. You've got a series of other forms that you can exit to input information in that saves that information in memory behind the scenes. And then when you finally hit okay, it submits those changes to the database, but to do that, it takes all that information that it had saved and it runs it through a set of business functions to edit it and commit it to the actual database.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's a little more complicated. I happened to pick one that was not one that you could just get to easily, which is good. This is good for me to know that. I may have to go in here sometime and I may have to actually dig around a little deeper. I may have to look at that OK button, not just the menu, not just finding the event roles for the application. I may have to dig in further.
Right. Absolutely.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Again, as I try to think about how to articulate this stuff and being cautious of time, and maybe we'll have to come back and revisit some of this stuff and explore more. Now the question is, what function tells me what's updated? Like, how do I figure that out? Like, where do I go, right? Because what I see underneath the OK button is I see an FO911 NDoc, right? Well, the FO911, we all know what that is.
My favorite table.
Yes, right? But we see this function called NDoc. Well, whenever I see that, and in JD Edwards land, right, developer land, what NDoc translates to is a master business function. So behind some of our major applications, most of, if not all of our major applications, we created what were called master business functions. Those were where all the business logic lies. And not only the editing, but all the table operations and everything else reside. And why did we do that? We put them in functions because those functions could be called for multiple applications, multiple batch jobs, right? They could be invoked from different touch points. That way there was one copy of that logic, not, hey, every single app and every single batch job that needs to go right to the 9/11 has its own set of business logic to do so. No. Bad architecture, right? We want to commonize that into a common object. We called it a master business function. Master business functions have a pretty basic architecture. There's a begin doc where you would initialize things. There's an edit line where you're going to edit individual rows, individual records. There's a sometimes an edit doc, which is, hey, maybe there's some logic that after I get all the details figured out, I have to run some summary level or header level logic over all of that. And then there's an end doc. An end doc is where we commit everything to the database. So if you want to know what's getting updated, now you look for end doc. So let's go back to that printout. If I'm in an application that I know isn't updating through a business view because cross-reference tells me there ain't no tables behind that, right? Or it's not pointing.
Yeah.
And I know that all my stuff is stuck in a business function somewhere. Chances are I'm going to want to go into that application, print out the ER and do a control find and try to find an edit doc or an end doc to try and figure out what function it is. Okay. And once I do that, you can see here, I've got B0900049. Well, that is, Chandra didn't know this, but that is the master business function that controls her whole financial world. Because every 9/11 that's ever been written from JD Edwards has gone through this function.
Right? I did not know that. I did not know that it was one business function that is always writing to the 9/11. So thanks for my I learned something today moment.
You learned something today moment. No problem. Now, before we go today, because hey, guess what? I still haven't answered your question.
No, you
haven't. But I sort of pseudo kind of have, because you know now that, well, those meter readings must translate to actual transactions in the 9/11.
Mm-hmm. How so do I know? Find them? Just kidding.
Well, again,
that can be another
episode. That can be another episode, right? Because now you're peeling the layers of the onion. But yep. Let's say right now, you know that at least the 9/11 is involved. But if you wanted to understand more about what is updated behind that, then you would want to go open that business function, right?
Oh.
Itself. And then you would want to do a find on NDoc, and you would want to then go in and look for like insert table or update table to try to figure out what tables it's actually updating. Okay. So we've covered this at a very, very high level, extremely high level. Okay. And it's going to be hard for us to walk this line of how far do we go before we're truly in like developer land and oh my gosh, we just don't want to be here. Like that is, we're not going to get the zeros and ones. I promise I won't take you down to the zeros and ones. But, you know, once we start talking about, you know, oh, I want to open a table and I want to keep a handle and then I want to figure out, you know, what key I'm going to actually fetch on. And then I want to input, I'm going to do a partial key, blah, 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 you know, and then I'm going to get a cursor and then what you did, and then I'm going to allocate a pointer. Your eyes are going to roll. And it's like, we don't need to know that. All we need
fell asleep. Hold on. Exactly. Let me get my coffee.
Right. All we need to know is how to find the information that we're looking for and how to interpret this stuff at a high level. We don't need to understand all the bells and whistles of it and all the syntax and all that. No. You can read this stuff almost like you're reading a book once you get familiar with it. And you saw that ER, that wasn't terrible. I mean, it, you know, you can interpret what it's doing, right? And it's just a matter of being able to navigate this for you to be able to find what you need to find. So we've just cracked the surface on FDA. We'll call this, I don't know, episode one, you know,
part
if
one.
You will, you know, part one. of this and how you can, you know, again, first print this stuff out so that you can search it easily. The drawback to printing it out, by the way, is when you do find something like NDoc, it's just going to be printed NDoc. You won't know that the details of what function that is will not be captured. So you'll have to go into FDA and double click on that row and open it up to be able to see what is actually being called.
Got it.
Now there's other tricks to finding out, like based on the description that you see in the printout, what function it is. I don't want to go there now, but again, it's another cross-reference type thing. Oh, let me go find. Forget that. For now, open up FDA, print it out, go find the logic that you're looking for, then go back into FDA so that you know what event to look under to then go to that next level detail, open stuff up, find the functions, and then start to explore from there, right? So we'll keep this going. We haven't completely answered your question, but you know, this is going to take you through those layers. So you already have a strong suspicion. You know for a fact, hey, guess what? This is right into the 9/11. I already know that. But what other tables may be involved? We haven't answered that. That's what we'll answer next time. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you. This was very helpful. I hope our listeners also found it helpful. Again, maybe not all of our developers. You know, they probably already know this and can do it in their sleep. But those of us that maybe haven't had the exposure, you know, haven't spent enough time with our developers, I guess, over the years to learn to dial into this. It's very helpful to know that it is something that we can, as business analysts, dig into. Again, like you said, not to write the code, but just to understand higher level what's happening so that we can either find where something is being updated, especially as, you know, the orchestrator becomes even more popular as, you know, we're all looking for ways to automate, that is something we can do. We can empower ourselves to figure it out and build some of those orchestrations, knowing where that data is coming from, what it's updating.
Agreed.
So, all right. Well, with that, we probably should do our Midwesternism of the week.
Our Midwesternism of the week. Well, I don't know how to introduce this one. I'm sorry. You and I talked about it before. I know I picked it. And I picked it because this is what, well, we're going to be doing this weekend, which is we're going to have to skedaddle, you know, to go to packet pickup, to go pick up our packets for the Marine Corps Marathon that we are actually running this Sunday. And I know,
bombshell, you know, for the listeners, they didn't know you were running. You're going to just drop that and leave? Why?
I am. Okay. You know,
we'll
I don't
talk more about it next week.
Yeah, I didn't feel comfortable. Let's put it that way. You know, this is my first marathon, never done one before. I didn't feel comfortable necessarily putting it out there that I was going to do this because I really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get myself in condition to actually do it. But now we are 2 days away, 3 days away. And well, it's, you know, there's no going back now. So, you know, I knock on wood, let's not jinx it, but there's really no going back. So yes, yeah. I will be out there with you suffering while you take pictures.
I'll take pictures of your suffering.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
And post them on the interwebs.
On the interwebs. So yes, we are going to skedaddle this weekend. Well, I mean, what's your definition of skedaddle?
Hurry off for something. That's a skedaddle. Yeah. I got to hurry off and get going. I got to get it done. I got to skedaddle.
Got to get it done.
Get out of here.
Got to skedaddle. Yep. Got to get going.
Exactly. Exactly.
Got to get moving and grooving. So
absolutely.
Yep, that'll be the theme for this weekend. So
absolutely. Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.